were just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Good to be in studio. The number is always to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265 as we get the broadcast kicked off today. Want to mention once again the Creation Answer Book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Whether you're a Christian who faces the argument of evolution or a seeker who is searching for truth about origins, the Creation Answer Book is a must-read. Again, you can order a copy in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, one of the issues addressed in the Christian Research Journal, through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through the Christian Research Institute in general, and now through the Creation Answer Book, is the question of God. Who made God? Of course, unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal. And therefore, we can say that an infinite, eternal God can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. To suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe must have had a cause simply leads to a logical dead end. Simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion. It did not spring out of nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. And it has not eternally existed. And therefore, the only plausible possibility that remains is that the universe was made by an unmade cause greater than itself. Every effect has to have a cause, and in the case of the universe, the cause of the universe is the uncaused first cause. I've written about that and much more in the Creation Answer Book. Once again, you can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. We'll go right to the phone lines. Once again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. First up, Betty, Cypress, California. Hi, Betty.
Hello, Hank. Thank you very much for taking my call. A friend of a friend has been caught up in a cult. It's called the Arunankula Ashram, linked to Krishna, and I've looked them up on the web. It's an Eastern cult type thing. Is there anything we can do besides prayer to get him out of that cult? It's a young man about 19 years of age.
Well, you know, prayer is firing the winning shot. But in the meantime, what we can all do is equip ourselves always to be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. And then we can answer questions. Which is to say, we can take the deviations and use them as springboards or opportunities. But the same will that gets someone into a cultic movement has to be the same will that gets them out of a cultic movement. In the meantime, as Christians, our job is not evangelism. Our job is equipping for evangelism. And when we're equipped, God gives us the opportunity to use our well-reasoned answers as the opportunities that I just delineated. In the meantime, you pray, you're prepared, and hopefully God can use you in the process of reaching that person, if not another person reaching that person. But again, the same will that got the person involved in this this construct that does not correspond to reality has to be the same will that gets them out of it.
They do not allow him to talk to anyone without one of their members present. And yep. They have relocated him. Hello?
Yep, I'm listening.
They have relocated him from California to Nova Scotia. So the parents are you know, it's a very bad situation. Is there anyone you know that is expert in this type of thing, of being able to connect with a person who is in such a captivating cult?
Well, we may know someone there. If you want to hang on, we can see what we can do in terms of someone that's actually in Nova Scotia. But again, the principle applies. The same will that got him into this construct has to be the same will that gets him out of it. And God does use means, and you can pray that God would bring people or circumstances into his path so that he may come to a true valuation of things.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it.
I'll hold on to talk to your people.
Yeah, good. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Donald in Topeka, Kansas next, listening on KCVT. Hi, Donald.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay, but I have a serious question for you. Why in 6,000 years or 6,012 hasn't the God of the Jews came back, Yahweh, and why hasn't Jesus come back in 2012 years? I mean, the Jews have been collecting for 6,012 years. No God has come. A bunch of prophets. I don't know how they got to be the chosen people if their God never arrived. And with Jesus, followers pay a tithe and offering to the church, but they never their God never comes. Now the devil, he came back in 2003, and he messed up the churches a whole lot. And Jesus hadn't arrived to help these people out, some of them, out of a nightmarish mess that the devil's put them in.
Yeah, well, I can't make a total coherence out of what you just said, but let me try to give a general answer to your question. All of us are created in such a way that there comes a point in time that we die. And when we die, we are in the presence of God if we are those who love him and are called according to his purpose. There is going to be a time that Jesus appears a second time, and when he does appear a second time, he'll put all things to right. The dead will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Those who are alive will be transformed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and the final state will ensue, a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness, no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order things will have passed away. In the meantime, what we are called to do is be faithful and fruitful. We're going to bear the tribulations of the world for a short time, and then eternity will ensue. Now, what that means from a practical standpoint is that we are not looking for some peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, but we're looking forward to resurrection. That's what the Christian worldview offers. It doesn't offer us a panacea. It offers us peace in the midst of the storm, and then ultimately a resurrection when Jesus appears a second time, and when heaven and earth once again are one. The veil between heaven and earth now is in place, but then that veil will disappear and heaven and earth will be a united cosmos in which we will walk again with God in the cool of the day. When Jesus returns, there is no clue about that whatsoever in the scripture. So we have no clue as to when. The Bible doesn't pretend to tell us. It only tells us that he will appear a second time, and we look forward to that. But it's irrelevant in some sense. I'm going to be 62 next month, and I recognize my own mortality, whether I've got another 20 years or 10 years or 30 years. Once I die, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord, and I'm awaiting the greatest thing that can happen, the time that the dead are raised. So let's say my dad died in 1997. He's absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's awaiting that time that Jesus appears a second time, and then he will be raised immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That's the Christian concept, and that Christian concept happens to be based in reality. So some of the things that you were saying in the prologue to your question aren't based in reality, but the Christian faith is, which is to say that we can demonstrate the reality of the Christian faith in that it is not based on blind faith, but rather is based on faith in evidence. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Don next, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Don.
How you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
I really appreciate your program. Listen to it every day. You could be considered a modern-day Apollos of Paul or something like that. I really do appreciate it. And let me, just before my quick question here, you're the first person outside of the Churches of Christ that I've ever seen or heard try to refute the doctrine of premillennialism. We've been trying to refute that since Campbell and Stone and stuff, but appreciate that as well. You talk about the 3rd and 4th century manuscripts sometime, and you refer to the long ending of Mark. And you say that the manuscripts don't include that in the 3rd and 4th century. But we have Irenaeus, one of the earliest church fathers, in 175, actually not only quoting from the long ending of Mark, but he actually says Mark at the end of his gospel and refers to the ascension and refers to those verses. So the quick question would be, wouldn't that make the 3rd and 4th century manuscripts lacking something? I'm not saying they're unreliable, but wouldn't that make them lacking something that they need versus the Mark, the long ending of Mark being unreliable?
Yeah, it's possible. It's very possible. The only statement that's made is that the most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have the long ending of Mark. But what you're pointing to is plausible. It is plausible that the long ending of Mark really is part of the text. In fact, it seems in sequence that it would be part of the text. The only statement, again, that we're making is that the best, earliest, most reliable manuscripts don't contain it. But having said that, new manuscripts are being uncovered all the time, A. B, textual criticism is a science whereby, through the tenacity of the text, the autograph emerges. And at this point, there's at least reason to suspect these verses, and that's why that insertion is made in most of the newer or modern translations. But the premise that you articulated, even based on some of what is communicated by early church fathers, is a plausible premise.
Right. It's kind of like, it's almost like the Lord looked down the stream of time and said, somebody is going to deny that this is part of the text. And I think it's so unique that Irenaeus, if I'm saying his name correct, not only quotes it, but he refers to those verses. And, and it's almost as if somebody, he just had a stream of time and said, somebody is going to say that that's not a part of the gospel. Somebody is going to say that it, doesn't correlate to baptism as necessary to salvation. But I just thought I'd throw that out there. I've heard you talk about the 3rd and 4th century manuscripts, but I think it's unique that in 175, which is what, the 2nd century, correct?
That's correct, yep.
Yeah, that he actually refers to that passage. But okay, thank you very much.
You got it. And, if you want further detail on this, I've written about the manuscript evidence, not only for the New Testament, but for the Old Testament, in my book, Has God Spoken, where I use the acronym MAPS to lay out the premise that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origin, the M standing for the manuscript evidence, the A, the archaeological evidence, B, predictive prophecy, which which basically demonstrates that you cannot pawn off the prophecies in Scripture to good guessing, luck, or common sense. And then the S stands for an attendant question. If God has spoken, what has God said? So with the S, I actually lay out the answer to that question as well, which in essence is learning to read the Bible for all it's worth. So the book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Divine Inspiration of Scripture, is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. It's really the crowning jewel of my personal writing career. I'm so excited about that book. You can also order online and via the mail. You can order through Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or just pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. Be right back with more answers to your questions. The number, 888-ASK-HANK.
Holy Communion was intended by Christ to unite Christians, but it has become a point of division. What are the major views on communion? How do Protestants respond to Catholic claims? Does Scripture provide guidelines for how communion should be observed? The article, The Sacrament of the Supper, answers these questions and more in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast after this short break. Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely supported by the generosity of our listeners? That means the broadcast you're listening to right now is a direct result of gifts from friends like you who stand with us to keep truth on the air. And this month, your support is more important than ever. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, so it's absolutely vital that we receive $450,000 by the end of the month. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has changed your life, please help keep it going strong with a gift of support. Call 888-7000-CRI today or give securely online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man fulfills a unique role in Christian apologetics and one our world can't afford to lose. Partner with us to make a difference today, because truth matters. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute are committed to providing the biblically and logically consistent answers you need to stand firm in your faith against the world's attacks and to strengthen Christians everywhere with the truth. But we can't do it without your help. As an entirely listener-supported ministry, we rely on God's provision through friends like you to keep the broadcast going strong every month. Will you partner with us through a gift of support today? June 30th is the end of our fiscal year, and every gift, large and small, will help us reach our urgent need of $450,000. So please go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI to be a part of God's provision for the Christian Research Institute. Thank you. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Brad, listening in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. I have a quick question for you. I've purchased your Complete Bible Answer book, the Collector's Edition, and read that, and it was awesome. And I've listened to a lot of your broadcasts on equip.org and enjoyed a lot of them. And I've been really trying to research creation versus the evolution theory, and I really haven't come across anything that would explain cavemen and or Neanderthals, where they would come into play. So I was just wondering, where do they come into place as far as creation is concerned?
Well, it depends on what school of thought you are part of. If you are a young earth creationist, a Neanderthal will be considered to be fully human. If you're an old earth creationist, you would view them as being a hominid. But in either case, there's an unbridgeable chasm between hominids and humans. And that is true both with respect to composition and culture. The fact that there are similar structures on different species does not provide sufficient proof of any genealogical relationship. In other words, common descent is simply an evolutionary assumption used to explain the similarities. But to assume that hominids and humans are closely related because both can walk is like saying a hummingbird and a helicopter are related because both can fly. You have to see ultimately that there's a distance between an ape who cannot read or write and a descendant of Adam who can compose a musical masterpiece or send a man to the moon. The distance between the two is, like I say, it's an unbridgeable chasm that can't be breached by rhetoric, nor can it be breached by an icon, which is essentially what is being done in the evolutionary community. The icon has become the argument. You see the ape to man icon, you know, on the cover of Time magazine or a National Geographic or a textbook, but this is simply an evolutionary assumption. There are no reliable transitional forms between apes and human beings.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that answer. Like I said, I've never really heard an explanation or heard anything as to how they fit into the creation story of the Bible.
Yeah, the other thing that I would point out is that when you think about humanity, the evolutionary assumption is that there is a gradation of races. So it's survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. And so you have, blacks on the bottom and yellows somewhere in between, and then the whites on top. There are various permutations of it. But in a Christian worldview, there's no such thing. We would look at Adam not as being some kind of an inferior human being, and we are much brighter than he was. No, we would say that Adam was probably brighter than we are, but we have something that Adam didn't have, and that is an accumulation of knowledge that allows us to do what he could not do. So the idea is that through time, there is accumulation of knowledge which allows us to develop an iPad, for example. or a spaceship. This is something that comes with accumulation of knowledge, but it doesn't speak to the notion that somehow or other our ancestors were not as bright as we were, that somehow or other they were knuckle-dragging apes that evolved into human beings, and we became increasingly brighter and brighter and brighter until the modern species has evolved. That simply doesn't correspond to reality.
Right. And it's funny that you mentioned the iPad. I'm about to make a trip to Florida from Tennessee, and was wondering if any of your books, such as the Creation Answer book or anything like that, is available through iTunes or any good podcast you could recommend.
Yeah, hang on. Don't go away. Someone will pick you up. And Tiras, Ogden, Utah, next, listening on KUTR. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Did I lose you?
Nope. You're
nope, okay.
We're connected.
Awesome. The question I have is, some time ago, I was of the LDS faith. I was Mormon. And it was time I was vulnerable anyway. I got out of that, but I've got some friends and people that I know that keep talking to me about baptisms for the dead, which I'd known about because I had been a part of that. But I'm wondering, does it say anywhere in the Bible that we're supposed to do that, or that's something that we should do, or how do I explain to them that it's not expression of God? From what I know, it's not, that it's not something that we should do is be baptized in place of other people. And I'm just, I don't want to tell them they're wrong, but I'd want to explain to them that this is not something that, you know, God or the Bible tells us to do, from what I've seen.
Yeah, and that's right. I mean, certainly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is a reference to baptisms for the dead, where Paul writes, now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? So there are practices that took place that would make no sense whatsoever if there was no resurrection to begin with. So that's the main point. What Paul is arguing for in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that Christ rose from the dead. So he makes a four-part argument. Christ suffered fatal torment. The tomb was empty. Christ appeared, and people were radically transformed as a result of the appearances of Jesus Christ. And he says then that if this is not true, then nothing else is worthwhile. Whether you're baptizing for the dead or whether you're preaching in general, it's all useful, it's all vain. None of it makes any sense whatsoever. In fact, he explicitly says, but if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection for the dead? If there's no resurrection for the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In fact, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. So that's the basic argument that Paul is making. If Christ isn't resurrected, nothing else makes any difference. No practice makes any difference. That is the centerpiece of all of Christianity. Christianity either rises or falls on it. If it's not true, nothing else matters. That's the bottom line that Paul is discussing there. So if I'm talking to a Mormon, I wouldn't make this a main and plain thing. What I would make a main and plain thing is something else. And that is the central message of Christianity is something that is denied by Mormonism. And that is the unique deity of Jesus Christ. Also, ontology is tampered with in the sense that a Mormon believes that God was once a man and became God, and we as men can breach the chasm and become God just like God became God. That is the thing that I would focus on. I'd also focus on the fact that their gospel is a gospel of do, where our gospel is a gospel of done. It's done through the person and work of Jesus Christ, and therefore we don't work for salvation, we work from salvation. There are many other intricacies that are bound to that for the Mormon, in that they have different levels of heaven, and none of this is taught in Scripture. But why do they believe all of this? Well, they believe all of that because that's the tradition of their fathers. They also believe that because they have additional revelation. The problem with their additional revelation is their additional revelations don't correspond to reality. The Book of Mormon, they claim, is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion. But in reality, if you look at the Book of Mormon and then look at reality, you find the two don't mesh. The Book of Mormon is dealing with the Jaredites, the Nephites, and the Lamanites, but the anthropology simply doesn't correspond to reality, nor does the archaeology in terms of the people, places, and particulars that you find in the Book of Mormon. And therefore, we say, let's appeal to a real authority. The real authority is the Word of God, which can be demonstrated to be divine as opposed to merely human in origin.
Yes. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much for that. It really helps a lot. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I've written about this in various places. In fact, we have a flip chart available called The Mormon Mirage. And I think this is increasingly important in a time where Mormonism is in the spotlight as a result of Mitt Romney. Now, I'm not suggesting that people can't vote for Mitt Romney. That thought has never entered my mind. You have to make the best possible choice given the options we have. And it may very well be that Mitt Romney is the best choice you can make. That's not a judgment that I'm making one way or the other. That's something that you have to make a decision on by looking at all the converging factors. But let me say that Mitt Romney has inferred that Jesus is a different Jesus, and his rule and reign when he comes back is going to be a different rule and reign than what we find in Scripture. So he has explicitly said, as I point out in the Mormon Mirage, throughout the Bible, Christ appears in Jerusalem, splits the Mount of Olives to stop the war that's coming to kill all the Jews. Our church believes that. We also believe that over the 1,000 years that follows, the millennium, he will reign from two places. The law will come forth from one place in Missouri. The other will be in Jerusalem. So Jesus is going to have his headquarters right there in Missouri. Now, where does that come from? That comes from their tradition, their revelations, but they don't correspond in terms of revelation with the revelation already received. And the reason I highlight this is it really raises the question of what is your authority and why? And again, I think it's so important for us to recognize that the Bible is an authority, the Book of Mormon is not. And for us to be equipped to use the deviations of Mormonism as springboards or opportunities to reach Mormon friends with the truth and life and grace and love that only Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Jesus Christ of Mormonism, can bring to the human heart. The Mormon Mirage, Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's a 4x6 laminated flip chart you can order online at equip.org. Also, in the newest edition of the Christian Research Journal, we have a very salient piece on Mormonism worth subscribing to the magazine just for that article. Again, you can subscribe online at equip.org. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK.
The cultural phenomenon of Tebow mania has raised some interesting points of discussion for Christians, such as, does public prayer before millions of viewers violate Christ's teachings in the Sermon on the Mount? Also, does God care about football games? What can we learn from Tebow mania? The article, Prayers, Football, and Missions, Lessons from Tebow Mania, in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal, has the answers. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today at equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back. Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely supported by the generosity of our listeners? That means the broadcast you're listening to right now is a direct result of gifts from friends like you who stand with us to keep truth on the air. And this month, your support is more important than ever. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, so it's absolutely vital that we receive $450,000 by the end of the month. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has changed your life, please help keep it going strong with a gift of support. Call 888-7000-CRI today or give securely online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man fulfills a unique role in Christian apologetics and one our world can't afford to lose. Partner with us to make a difference today, because truth matters. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Explore how the wildly popular but violent world of the Hunger Games books and film can serve quite unexpectedly as very useful material for literary apologetics with the article Truth and Darkness, The Hunger Games as an Unexpected Resource for Apologists. Other topics include When Vague is in Vogue, a new but not improved approach to homosexuality is growing among evangelicals, birthday celebrations and Jehovah's Witnesses, the sacrament of the supper, personhood's fatal flaw, and much more. Also in the popular Ask Hank column, Hank Hanegraaff answers the question, should we search for scientific paradigms in scriptural passages?
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
We hope this Bible Answer Man broadcast is blessing your life with answers you need to understand and defend your faith. If so, will you prayerfully consider supporting the broadcast with your gift of any amount today? With truth under ever-increasing attack, it's more vital than ever to equip Christians to think Christianly. Your gift will help us continue to bring the broadcast and resources to reach millions more people who urgently need answers. But to do this, it's urgent that we raise $450,000 by the end of our fiscal year on June 30th. No gift is too small to help keep truth on the air, and many people united together can make this happen. Please go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI to make your special gift of support before June 30th so we can continue sharing the truth with as many people as possible. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And it would be a miracle of sorts if we reached our goal, because we are now at the 29th and the end of our fiscal year is June 30. But we pray that you will do all that you can possibly do to stand with us prayerfully and financially. Do remember, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy of the Creation Answer Book to you, a family member, or a friend. Or when you join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I'll also send you a personalized copy, again, to you, a family member, or a friend. For your gift, I'll send you the Creation Answer Book. Once again, this is one of the most significant months in our calendar year because it's the end of our fiscal year. So anything you can do to help would be deeply appreciated. and used for the furtherance of the gospel. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can give via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at number 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Holly listening in Nashville, Tennessee on Bot Radio. Hi, Holly.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I have a dear friend from college. I've known her almost 20 years now, who recently let me know that she was converting to Judaism and no longer believed that Jesus is the Son of God. As you can imagine, this has been, it was painful for me to hear. And I want to know if you've got any advice for how I can best minister to her in this time of need that she's got.
Yeah, a couple of things that come to mind. You know, I wrote a book called Has God Spoken? And in that book, I demonstrate that Jesus Christ is portrayed in the Old Testament such that for a Jewish person, you can find Jesus Christ portrayed in the Old, come to flesh in the New. So his ancestry was marked and his birthplace foretold in the Old Testament. The circumstances surrounding his death were prophesied before crucifixion was invented. The date of his visitation was predicted within historically narrow time parameters. It would be too small for him to bring back only those of Israel, and therefore he was going to be a light to the Gentiles so that salvation could go out to the ends of the earth. So only the hand of God could have etched a prophetic portrait of Christ in the Old Testament, and only God could cause it to take on flesh in the New. Only Jesus of Nazareth could emerge through the doorway of Old Testament prophecy. The reason I think that's salient and important is because if you can explain that Jesus is the fulfillment of all that came before in the Old Testament, oftentimes you have an opportunity to reach someone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is actually the Messiah that is predicted in the Old Testament.
Okay, thank you very much.
You got it. And again, I've written about this in detail in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Jason in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Jason.
Howdy. I guess this question is being asked not out of spite or with any hostile intent, even though I'm sure it would come across to some of your listeners as such. As a non-believer in any kind of God whatsoever, I'm just wondering what kind of answer Christianity or any kind of Abrahamic-based religion has for the numerous inconsistencies, contradictions, and just outright, for lack of a better term, ridiculousness of the Bible. Clearest example, creationism. This is straight from Genesis. I'm sure you know. It states God creates day and night on the third day, yet he doesn't create the sun and stars on the fourth day. Well, there's no possible way for there to be day and night on the third day without sun and stars. And there's just one example. I've got
Jason. I mean, you know, I have to interrupt you for just a second and say that, you know, if you're going to read any kind of literature in the way that you are now reading Genesis or interpreting Genesis, you'd make nonsense out of everything. You know, that what you're displaying is a rabid fundamentalism in the way that you're reading the book of Genesis. Genesis is a literary masterpiece by any standard. If we're just talking about literary prowess, Genesis is a beautiful piece of work. What you find in the book of Genesis is a hierarchy of creation, not a chronology of creation. And the days of creation are actually used so that you can remember God's creative prowess. And by the way, when you say you don't believe in God, how in the world did this universe come into existence? You have to take the untenable notion in an age of scientific enlightenment that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, and that the life that comes from non-life produced morals. I mean, that stretches credulity beyond the breaking point for any thinking human being.
But that still absolutely makes absolutely no sense. It's just a never-ending.
What makes no sense? That if nothing creates everything?
I mean, if you're going to use that logic,
what logic?
Who created God? And it just goes back and forth of who created who and who created who and who
no,
created who.
No, that's not true. I mean, the universe itself has principles associated with it, which is to say, we can say about the universe that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. But what is true?
Who created God then? If you're using that logic, you have to have a creator for God.
No, God is an uncaused first cause. So the principles of science that apply to the universe in which we live don't have to apply to God. And by your reasoning, all you'd ever have is an infinite regress. We don't. We point to
an... Exactly. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's an infinite regress of who created who.
No, I'm saying that's your logic. It's not our logic. We don't have an infinite regress because we look at the universe and we say that common sense prevails. When you see a sun, moon, and stars, you cannot logically assume that they just happened. That should stretch your credulity beyond the breaking point. I mean, if the sun were closer to the earth, we would fry. If it was farther away, we'd freeze. The moon is very critical to our survival on Earth. If the moon was smaller or farther away, tidal motion would cease and the oceans would stagnate and die. If it was closer, tidal waves would submerge vast areas of land and life would be impossible. So the universe is perfectly designed, and that didn't happen without a designer. Every design presupposes a designer.
I would agree with those statements you said. Those are fantastic statements, true in every bit. However, there's not one bit of biblical teaching that brought anybody to those conclusions. It was all science. I would preface it with that.
But just a sec. You're making dogmatic assertions, and I think what you want to do is make defensible arguments. The Bible does point to natural revelation or general revelation and saying the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. The Bible also tells us that God's divine nature, his eternal power, are seen in what has been made so that men are without excuse. And I would also submit to you, as you probably know, as a very articulate and learned person who is discussing this subject, that science came out of a biblical worldview. It came out of the notion that God's thoughts could be thought after him. So science developed out of a Christian worldview. Prior to that, if you look at Aristotle or you look at Plato or you look at the great philosophers who had reason but they didn't have revelation, they ended up in worlds in which you can't think God's thoughts after him, in worlds in which you can't have the scientific premise or paradigm which has brought such great enlightenment to the West. So science came out of a biblical worldview, and again, I'm sure you know that from a historical standpoint. I didn't catch that. I think I lost Jason. I don't know. Are you still there, Jason? I think I lost Jason. At any rate, for anybody listening in, I've written a creation answer book which gives answers in detail to these and many other questions and as to whether the Bible is a reliable source. The book Has God Spoken, also available through the World Wide Web at equip.org, bookstores everywhere. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Todd next, listening in Newton, Kansas. Hi, Todd.
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call, but I just got a quick question here. I love the way you're talking about creation and everything, and my concern is I'm a diehard creationist, but the only thing I'm having trouble understanding is through the years people have talked about, I believe God created the stars, the universes, and everything, and when some scientist tells me, okay, this star is 10 million light years away, help me understand that, because I'm always thinking, okay, those stars are 10,000 years old. That's how old the Earth is. I believe in a young Earth and a young universe. So is the prism that they judge the starlight through incorrect? Am I wrong? How do I do that?
Yeah, a couple of things I would say, and I unfortunately have 50 seconds to answer your question, but the answers to your question are in my creation answer book. The bottom line is this. If you want to find out how old the universe is, look to general revelation. If you want to find out God's purposes in creation, look to the Bible. The Bible doesn't give us a chronology. It does give us a hierarchy, which culminates in the crowning jewel of God's creation, humankind, and we are created for fellowship with God, and that fellowship will be restored in recreation. I've answered the age question in the Creation Answer book. Again, that book available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We're out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be right back here Monday.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources and information to help sharpen your discernment skills. Not only do we provide books, videos, and informative articles, but you can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived shows, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter and receive special benefits. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Did you know that the Bible Answer Man broadcast is entirely supported by the generosity of our listeners? That means the broadcast you're listening to right now is a direct result of gifts from friends like you who stand with us to keep truth on the air. And this month, your support is more important than ever. Our fiscal year ends June 30th, so it's absolutely vital that we receive $450,000 by the end of the month. So if the Bible Answer Man broadcast has changed your life, please help keep it going strong with a gift of support. Call 888-7000-CRI today or give securely online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man fulfills a unique role in Christian apologetics and one our world can't afford to lose. Partner with us to make a difference today because truth matters. Remain faithful in a world that claims feelings are just as important as facts, if not more so, we have to know the truth about what we believe and why, because truth matters. But simply knowing correct doctrine can still leave you feeling empty or distant from God. Watchman Nee's The Normal Christian Life will give you the insight you need to live a crucified life, dead to yourself and alive in Christ. This inspirational collection of messages will spur you in a desire to grow even closer to God, especially when life becomes difficult. To find out more or to request your copy of The Normal Christian Life, go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can call a CRI resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274.